Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by SuperValu Insurance, looking out for you and yours with our new life and mortgage protection insurance.
But first, Social Democrats leader Holly Kearns has joined me in studio this morning. Holly, it's been a busy week of counting and recounting, congratulating those who were elected, commiserating with those who lost their seats. But you've some lovely news to share with our listeners this morning. But before we get to that, now that the dust has settled largely on the local and European elections, how do you think your party did?
We're so happy with the results. Obviously, we're a small and growing party, so to have nearly doubled our seats nationally is amazing. And we just couldn't be more proud of our candidates, their teams who put so much into this. We've doubled our councillors in Limerick and Galway, quadrupled in Cork. And we're the second largest party on Dublin City Council. So there's so many things that we're celebrating at the moment. But overall, I suppose we're just really, really grateful to the people who went out there and voted for our candidates. It's a lot to ask somebody to put their trust in you and their vote in you. And we're really determined to build on that and to keep people's trust.
Were you disappointed not to win a seat in Europe?
I mean, of course, we'd love to make a breakthrough. It's our first time as a party contesting the three European constituencies. And that in and of itself, Miriam, for us, it was the first time everybody in Ireland could vote Social Democrats, was a really big moment for the party. You know yourself, European elections, the constituencies are huge. Like your local electorate feels huge, your constituency feels huge. The European constituencies are enormous. And what we see is obviously incumbent TDs, incumbent MEPs, big names, celebrities, all of those things. It's a really big advantage in those elections when you're talking about that big of a population that you need to reach. Our candidates were selected for their experience, their expertise, their knowledge, not for any of those other things. And, you know, it's difficult for them to break through in that context. So, look, we didn't make any breakthrough this time, but we're so proud of the campaigns that they put together.
Now, the obvious question, Pat Rabbit on Primetime the other night, he said it'll definitely happen. The transfers we could see between the Soc Dems and Labour, will there be a merger? Would you support that?
I am honestly running out of ways to say no to this question. You know, we'd always encourage
people. Why say no?
We're focused on building our party. You know, we're growing like that. We've doubled our seats, I think. The Labour Party went down in the number of seats. It's not something we want or consider. Look, I always say, you know, and in the last election, I think it was really effective. Vote left, transfer left. Absolutely. And we'll talk to all parties after the election about government formation. That is absolutely our intention. But we have no intention of merging with any party. Our focus is building on the amazing foundations laid by Catherine Roisin and all the members around the country. That is our primary focus.
Now, you're relatively new to politics. You were first elected, I think, to Cork County Council in 2019 by a single vote. I love democracy. You were elected to the Dáil in 2020. It was a really quick route, to be honest, to becoming leader of a party. How much of a challenge has that been for you?
Yeah, sometimes when I'm asked about it, I'm like, have I stopped to think about it? It's been such a roller coaster. Yeah, in the space of 5 years, obviously going from zero to councillor to TD to now party leader, it's been really intense, but honestly incredible. It's a huge honour to get elected to your local authority representing your community, not to mention your constituency, mine in Cork South West, and then the Social Democrats as a whole. And I wouldn't have gotten there without the support of so many people. Catherine and Roisin obviously always stand out. They've been so supportive to me throughout. My campaign team and manager, my family, Barry, everybody. So yeah, it's been a journey, and I don't think I've really stopped to reflect properly on it yet.
And part of that is even going to get busier because you have some lovely news to share this morning.
Yeah, I'm overjoyed that me and Barry are expecting our first baby. Yeah, we've been trying for some time, so we're absolutely delighted. Obviously, as well, you'd be kind of nervous about speaking out about it in case it doesn't go to plan and all of that stuff. But overall, fingers crossed, it's looking good. And I suppose, you know, speaking about it is really important as well, because I know a lot of women have juggled having a baby and work. So I'm definitely not the first person who's going to be doing that. But I do acknowledge the kind of unique job that I have in being the leader of a political party, and that this is kind of uncharted territory. We don't really have a template for this. So I just want to kind of, particularly to party members and my colleagues and all that, just to kind of reassure people that I have quite honestly never been more committed to leading the party into the next general election after our amazing local elections. And my own personal news, I couldn't be more committed to doing this.
So how many weeks pregnant are you? And were you going around the county centres trying to hide the fact that you were pregnant?
Yeah, to a certain extent. I'm 17 weeks now. And yeah, I mean, our focus was really on the election. I think, you know, ordinarily you kind of start to tell people a little bit earlier after you have the 3-month scan is kind of the norm. But our focus was really on the election. And I didn't want to distract from that. That was my focus for the last while, of course. So 17 weeks now. And finally out of the first trimester, I have to say, I feel a kind of renewed sense of energy after that. So yeah, we're really delighted.
You look great. You look really healthy. And do you know if it's a boy or a girl?
We're having a girl. Yep. Finally, you know, we've since the local elections, we started the campaign of the Mormon Awe, the need for more women in politics. So I feel like now I'm genuinely doing my bit to make Mormon Awe.
Why? It's interesting. We were talking about it before we came in here. Why did you decide to find out the sex? Because some people do and some people don't.
I know. And I really felt like finding out initially that it was kind of like opening your presents before Christmas, that there was kind of like a cheating element or something. So I was like, I really don't want to. But then speaking to my sister, my nephew was born just a year and a half ago, first baby in our family. And she was saying that she had found out the gender and she found she could really bond with Luca even before he was born. And my best friend had also had a baby recently and she hadn't found out, and she was saying she's going to if she has another one. So yeah, all of that just made me think, oh, actually, it would be nice to know, because we can refer to her as her rather than they or it. Or, you know, it's just you feel like you can kind of get to know her a little bit before she really arrives. So that's really nice.
That's true, actually. Tell me about Barry, the daddy and your partner.
I was going to say how we met, but I'm not quite sure how we met. I've potentially known him forever. We're from the same area. He's from the main road, kind of. So we would have gone to different primary schools in the same parish and then the same secondary school. But we didn't really know each other that well at that time.
Which is what part of Cork?
I'm down in Lisheen, kind of. It's the parish is Affadown. So yeah, we're both from the same area. And yeah, we were together before, actually. This is our third time.
when
we were younger. Yeah, kind of always had a thing for him. So he's a West Cork man and he works locally, lives locally, and I'm not sure what else to tell you. I'm thinking in my head as I'm saying, like, he's also a very private person. He'd probably be squirming now listening to me.
So we'll say no more about Barry. He deserves his privacy. Interestingly, Sinead Hussey, who works here in RTE, a reporter, a great reporter, was writing during the week in the Irish Times about trying to get pregnant and miscarrying and stuff. So your route to getting pregnant, it wasn't hugely easy either, was it?
No, it really wasn't. And of course, in my naivety, we were trying to plan around, you know, having a baby, maybe them being a year old or so before going into a general election. And like a lot of couples out there, we learned the hard way that it's not always that easy to plan. So I went through 2 miscarriages in the last year, or maybe it's a little bit over a year now. I'm not entirely sure of the months. But so I think it's something that we know happens to quite a lot of people. I think it's 1 in 3 women experience it, and we just don't hear a lot about it. And I have to say, hearing other women speak about it, I found maybe comforting. Feel like you're less alone, that you're not the only one going through it. So I do think it's really important that we kind of talk a little bit more about that. It's not easy. And yeah, there's, I think, you know, it ranges from miscarriages for people. That's what our experience was. For other people, it's finding it hard to conceive and going through treatments and all of those things. But it's something that so many people go through. And yeah, unfortunately for us, it was something we went through as well. So I think that makes me feel maybe a little bit vulnerable as well, announcing this pregnancy, because I think when it happens a couple of times, you're kind of wary that it might happen again. But everything's looking good for this pregnancy too. You know, we're past that kind of danger period. and so relieved because, yeah, I think out of the last year, I probably spent about 7 months in the first trimester, which in first year as leader, it is, I mean, it's a lot of women will find that the first 3 months can be very tricky. So, yeah, now I do feel like a new lease of life to be out of that danger zone and hopefully not doing it for a while.
And you know what's interesting, Holly? Like whenever any woman miscarries, I think many of us have been through it. It's horrible. But to be in the public eye like you are, and you never know what's going on in people's lives, do you? So there must have been difficult days when you're going through this loss, and yet you have to appear to the public like everything's just grand.
Definitely. I think, yeah. And you probably know as well from being in the public eye, you don't necessarily have time to recover and things like that if there's certain things on, or particularly in politics maybe. But I remember after one of the miscarriages, it was quite a late on one, compared to the first one, was quite early. And it had been like quite physically difficult. I'd had to have a DNC. That's for any listeners who don't know, sometimes the miscarriage happens completely naturally, and most of it did in this scenario, but not all. And I was actually on a connection flight, kind of so I was in a different country for having to have that procedure. And first of all, they give you tablets to try and help the process along. Had a couple of rounds of them because I definitely didn't want to go under an anaesthetic abroad. Just that feeling of not being at home, maybe in your comfort zone or whatever it is. But none of those worked. So I ended up having to have a DNC, and then coming back, it was straight into our party thinking. Of course, I don't think party leader has missed their own thinking. And like, that was my first one. So like for me, I wanted to do it. It would have been more difficult for me to miss that. But of course, the difficulty of doing it, not having fully maybe physically recovered, there has been challenging times. And I think I've always been grateful to be in the Social Democrats, but I've never felt more grateful for being in a party that is so supportive of parents, bringing forward things like the parental leave bill. It's part of the kind of whole ethos of the party, but also the party's kind of passion and dedication to bringing more women into politics. So I quite literally, Miriam, couldn't have been more supported by the parliamentary party, and I really couldn't be more grateful to them for that, because it made it, like, I'm not going to say easy, it wasn't an easy time at all, but it made it easier, it made it possible.
Now, I'm just thinking, about 17 weeks, people are predicting an election around October, November. I know they say March, no one believes that. So what's the plan? Will you take your maternity leave? Have you planned that far ahead?
So I think, like, the plan, and obviously we don't know when an election is, so there has to be a couple of variations of the plan.
Yeah. Have you written this down on paper? No.
Yeah, we're trying to figure it out. You know, I think it's, in one way, it's kind of mad that in 2024 we're sitting here and there isn't something to work off of, that it is kind of the first time. And nobody wants to be the first one to do it, but it is important, I think, that we see more women doing this as well in politics.
Do you mean the first party leader, I suppose? Yeah.
And then particularly around an election. So I suppose like that in terms of a family planning, we learned that planning doesn't always work.
No.
But the plan would be to take 6 months maternity leave.
As Helen McEntee did.
Yes. Yeah. And Deputy Kian O'Callaghan, Deputy Leader of the Social Democrats, would be stepping into the leader role for those 6 months. No better man. But of course, in the case of a general election, potentially programme for government talks, that kind of thing, it is a really kind of mitigating circumstance, and the plan would be to potentially pause maternity leave during those times. And look, I recognise a lot of women will say to me, you can plan all you want.
I know.
But that is the plan, and I suppose we have to make one, and that's my plan at the moment.
You've always been very open, actually, about some of the abuse that happens to female politicians or the difficulty of being, you know, a politician in the public eye. Has that eased? Has that got any better?
I think we've seen throughout the local elections, like, some really awful treatment of public representatives, people putting themselves forward, of their campaign teams as well. So I think it is a massive concern. But also, I have to say, Miriam, that the vast majority of people, like, when you're out on the doors, people are lovely. They're really, really nice. And it's really important that we acknowledge that sometimes there are difficulties, and there are. And I think in some respects it's getting worse. But I also think it's important to highlight that the vast majority of being in politics is not like that at all. people are lovely. We know that Irish people are lovely. We're knocking on the doors. Even if somebody is clearly not interested in voting for you, they'll be really respectful. And that is the vast majority of it. But I think it's also been really nice to see from this election that the kind of so-called rise of the far right hasn't really risen. And I think a lot of the kind of negativity in politics is coming from there. So
how do you, it's very male dominated, we know the Dáil still. How do you think your colleagues will react to this news this morning that you are party leader and you are pregnant?
I hope it will overall be a positive reaction. And like in terms of the parliamentary party, obviously they already know and stuff like that. It's been overwhelmingly positive and supportive. But like, of course, there's always negative commentary. And I remember seeing some of that with Minister McEntee and thinking it was completely outrageous. You know, I don't know which it is that people think women shouldn't do. Is it be in politics or is it not have a family? But the vast majority of people, of course, don't agree with that at all and think that everybody should be able to do both if that's what they choose to do. I don't know, I suppose, how people react, but I think like the vast majority of people react on the doors, people are generally speaking reasonable and nice. That's what we tend to see in Ireland, thankfully.
And in a way, it's odd. I always think that a woman has to be honest and come out, but it's better off. Like, you're here today telling the country you're pregnant. And I know you've wanted to do that, haven't you? It's something you want to do yourself.
Yeah, I think like in a role when you're a public representative and I represent the people of Cork South West and then the Social Democrats as a whole, it's important just to let people know that it's happening, because it's not nothing. It is a big change. And if there's potential of maternity leave and Cian stepping into the role temporarily and all that, I think it's really important to inform people, to let people know that I'm still completely committed and dedicated to Cork South West and to leading the Social Democrats into the election, to make sure that those kind of questions are answered. Like, how is this going to work in terms of, you know, what's the plan? Here's the plan. But what if there's an election? Well, here's what we'll do if there's an election. Important for people to know what the plan is at this point.
And your family must all be thrilled. And also, just rereading interviews today, Holly, you've always been very open. And you spoke about your brother Sam in the past, who died of drugs, didn't you? You've always been open and honest, haven't you?
Yeah, I think it must be how I naturally am. And maybe I didn't realise that necessarily until I went into politics. The way sometimes things are then printed in the papers and stuff like that can really put you off being open. And, you know, how the headlines can write things can not necessarily be how you would have wanted it to be depicted. I have to say, over time, then found myself wanting to be less open and therefore maybe less myself in the role.
And was that because after you spoke about Sam, was that one of those issues?
Yeah, that was one of those issues for sure. Just the way the headlines read then, it's not necessarily accurate. And I actually, even before coming into you today, Miriam, I was thinking the articles that would be taken from our conversation in terms of our difficulties in going on this journey of trying to start a family, how would the headline look? And I can imagine that I probably would be like, oh, I wish it hadn't been framed like that. But I also, I suppose, over time have realised that being less who you are doesn't help either, because it's important to be yourself, I think, especially actually in politics, because in Ireland in particular, I think it's really nice that we have this real connection with our politicians. We're not separate from our communities. We go out and knock on doors, and that's not the case in other countries. You know, I think it's mad that we go and knock on individual doors and ask for votes. But like, if you put that level of trust in somebody to represent you and make the decisions that affect our day-to-day lives, housing, health, disability, all of these things, I do think to a certain extent you kind of have to know the person to trust them. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that everybody should tell the world about their personal issues, not at all. It's for each to themselves. I think that maybe is to a certain extent who I am. And if you're kind of not being yourself, I then find difficult to do any kind of an interview because I'm sort of holding something in. Or if you naturally hold it in, I think that's a very different scenario. But I have to say, it's something that it's been a kind of a process of figuring out, how do I do this in politics? And I suppose it will probably depend on the different issues. But in relation to this, it feels like the right thing to do. Because even in terms of explaining, like, you know, would you not try and time it for a different time than the general election? Well, of course we tried. And then it's just that feeling of like that, hearing people like Sheila Shoga speak about her miscarriages. Yeah. That was a huge comfort to me. I think it's really important that more of us do speak about those issues as well.
Well, look, Holly Kearns, thank you very much for coming into me this morning and telling us the great news that you and Barry, your partner, are having a baby daughter. And you're right, and talking about the difficulty of the journey of getting there alongside people like Sinead Hussey and Sheila Shoig, I do think it's really important. I wish you the very best of luck.
Thank you so much, Ruby.
I hope it all goes so well. Mind yourself, and here's to your beautiful baby daughter.
Thank you.
Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1.